Wake up call for December 11th and December 12th, 2021. Wake up call December 11th and December 12th, 2021.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in again and joining us on the show. We have our full crew here tonight. We have Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hal and Rainer James.
Hey there, y'all.
We have Melissa.
Hello.
And we have special guests, Craven County Board of Elections Director, Melanie Ray.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us tonight. The reason we have Melanie in is because the politicians have done everything they can to confuse you about the elections that are upcoming, when they are, what they are, who they are, and everything else about them. I think changes are still going on, aren't they, Melanie?
Yes. We're started filing, then U.S. congressional and legislatives could not file, then the next day they could. And then we continued filing on the third day, and then the end of that day, we got a memo in the form of an email and copies of an order from the courts that the all filing is suspended and the primary date has been moved to May.
Okay, and all this is as a result of judges making rulings?
It is. North Carolina Court of Appeals first did the stay first, and then it was lifted. Three-panel North Carolina Court of Appeals in Wake County, and then the Court of Appeals relieved that stay, and then the full Court of Appeals, were able to meet, and now it's suspended. There's lots of rules, I'm sure, that's going to go on with this. We're already getting questions today, but we're getting questions faster than we're able to get answers because we are now at the mercy of the courts and the legislation.
Does the court deal with you directly, or does it come from the State Board of Elections?
The State Board of Elections sent us a copy of the order. So.
So what kind of questions are you mainly getting?
Some municipalities have their election as well. Some of them are not primary. So some questions are, can they appeal and have their election in March instead of moving to May? I do not know the answer to that. They just need to get their attorneys involved. Other questions are, if you've already filed, can you withdraw candidacy now and then refile whenever the filing starts back? I haven't got an answer to that yet. The one I did get an answer on is if someone wants to change their party, the deadlines were September 2021, September 17th, but now those have gone away. So whenever the filing dates are established, it's 90 days. You have to have your party changed 90 days from the day that you file for office. So that I did get an answer on. So those are some of the questions we've been getting.
Hal?
What about the Board of Aldermen in New Bern?
All elections, from what we understand, have moved to May.
I think the interesting thing about that was the way that they changed the elections, if they were not primaried, that the March election, would they immediately take office if they had not been in a primary? But now, all of a sudden, that's moved to May.
The municipalities would set the date on when the new aldermen would take office.
Oh.
Usually they would have their elections in October, November, and then December 1, they normally took office.
And then they did something crazy that if you're not primaried in the, if you don't have a primary opponent, that you would take office earlier, I guess.
In the municipalities?
Yeah.
No, they would still have to have their election, and then they're, depending on what type of election they have, most of them do plurality. New Bern does not. Theirs is election runoff.
Yeah.
So if there was a runoff, then it would happen the same date of the second primary, okay, if there was one. If there was not a second primary, then there would be the first of the April runoff and the old schedule.
Okay. Yep.
The Army had an expression for that situation. It was called snafu, situation normal, all screwed up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to go back to the thing about the judges, folks, and just kind of capitalize on that for a moment so that our listeners understand how important it is to go all the way down the ballot, because those judges, yes, most of them were elected. Some of them are appointed, but the elected judges have a great impact on what's going on in our state government.
Yeah.
Look at the voter ID bill.
Oh, Lord.
You've had, what is it, three or four judges that have stopped us on that?
It's a three-panel judge, you know, back when they've gone back and forth. But, you know, a long time ago, the judges were nonpartisan. You didn't know the parties on the ballots and things. But now they've gone to partisan.
Yeah.
So you do know.
Now, you say, what is the current status? I've heard several different ways on it, but voter ID right now is still being held up by the court?
Or? Correct. There's still lawsuits pending on voter ID.
Okay.
And that's after 55% of the citizens of North Carolina voted to have that included,
right,
in our
Constitution.
That
was my next point.
Okay.
That's good. They've overruled the people's will, yes, on a constitutional amendment.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, a bill. It was a constitutional amendment.
Absolutely. That is such a puzzle to me, because if we changed the Constitution, and we did, how can it be unconstitutional?
Right.
Where is the logic?
And in other states, the same language has been upheld as being constitutional.
Well, I think if you go back to the election back a cycle ago, where the courts had been changing dates for allowing absentee ballots or early voting or all that. The courts were changing that, not the legislature. It is the legislature's job to do those things. And all of a sudden, the court has stepped in to change, to take over, to usurp the
right
legislative process.
There's been some improper behavior big time.
And who's fighting for us on this? Our attorney general's not doing that.
Well,
he's not fighting for us. He's not upholding the will of the people, which is his job and what he should be doing.
And I also just want to point out that I knew I'd read this last week. I wanted to double check. A lot of polls have been done this year alone to Americans to ask how they feel about voter ID. Some, from 74 to 80% want voter ID.
Yes. Even the segment of the population that they claim is going to be adversely affected by it are saying, huh?
Yeah.
it's a bunch of hooey, and frankly, it is a put-down.
It is.
Disgusting.
It is. Okay, Melanie, are there any other big changes you're aware of that we need to know about?
Well, as you know, most of you have been somewhere where I have spoke, and I always say currently things are this way because it can change within hours. And we do the best we can. I will say that we've put a lot of work, you know, redistricting happened, and we put a lot of work in changing things. And in my county, in our county, in Craven County, since we had commissioner redistricting and school board and city of New Bern, we did elect to send every active voter a card.
Right.
They're already receiving those cards. We're at the process of mailing out the last 20,000 this week. Which will have your jurisdictions. Again, the congressional and the legislative district numbers may change, but your commissioner districts, your school board districts, and your city of New Bern wards will be on those cards if you live in the particular districts that it represents.
And they shouldn't change.
All right.
They shouldn't change.
I'm using the word.
You know, anything can happen by courts. But I do want to say about voter cards, when you get that voter card, you keep it. Don't send it back to us unless you want to change something on it. You keep it. It is also a proof of residency that you can use if you want to go get your real ID for traveling. You can take that as a proof of residence. And but keep the cards. Don't send them back to us with your signature. We don't need those back unless you're making a change.
All right. Now, folks, remind you that Melanie is the Director of Craven County Board of Elections. There may be some differences in your counties, not as far as the statewide regulations and all, but, you know, I just want to point out she's speaking for Craven County Board of Elections. Now, since you've brought up those issues that you just talked about, how's that impacted your department financially?
Well, we elected to send out cards, so that was, you know, we had to go to the commissioners and ask for more money for that. But I thought it was very important for everyone to be notified of their new districts. If it had just been the state and legislative, we don't have to mail cards. But I'm a believer that if your jurisdiction changes, you need to be notified.
Well, with the districts changing and, you know, the boundaries and the maps, was there...
Really, it's not a big effect except for the card expense. You're talking 70,000 cards at 40 cents a card. So, like, I did have to go and ask for extra budget. Because our budget was pretty lean this year. We only had the one election because, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we knew New Bern was going to move. To me, it's really not a strong, hurtful effect on our budget, because I always say we're going to have elections no matter the cost, and the county has to pay it no matter the cost. So, we make sure that we do the best we can here.
All right. Well, we need to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue the conversation with Melanie Ray, Director of Elections of Craven County. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're talking with Melanie Ray, the director of Craven County Board of Elections. And Melanie, I got a couple other questions. You talked about y'all had been working hard. And I haven't been down there checking up on you or anything. But I can attest to the fact that you have a hard-working crew. And very well-trained, very polite. I have never been in there that I wasn't treated like a customer, not just somebody coming in and aggravating them, you know. So I just wanted to give you kudos for that and explain a little bit to the folks that may not know how it all works. The Craven County Board of Elections operates under a five-member board that is appointed every 2 years, and the board consists of two Democrats, two Republicans, and a chairman that's appointed by the governor, right?
Mm-hmm. Which she's Democrat. Mm-hmm.
And that's effective on January 31st. And at each poll location, you'll have one chief judge and two other judges.
One Democrat and one Republican.
Right. Judge. Mm-hmm. And the chief judge is...
either Democrat or Republican.
Depending on
what
the governor.
Our board appoints.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we try to stay historically to what the governor is.
Okay.
But we have a hard time finding precinct officials. We always do. And so our board appoints the chief judge and judges based on recommendations from the parties and recommendations from me and my workers from the Board of Elections. And this time we will have a mix of chief judges that are Democrat and some are Republican.
Yeah. Good. Also, you have three full-time employees?
I have two. It's three full-time, including me. So
oh,
I have
including
two
full-time, you.
Yes. There's wow. three full-time. And then I have three permanent part-times.
Could you use some more full-time?
Probably no.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'm trying to help you out.
Well, we got an extra permanent part-time.
Okay.
So to help our elect tech. But no, with the type and registrations that we have, other than during presidential elections, we always need help because the volume is so much more. We get extra help at that time.
And the County Board of Elections is governed by the state.
It is governed by the state. But
funded
we are
by
funded
the county.
By the county, yes.
Right. Okay, good. Melissa?
So you said that you're always run short on precinct judges. And so how would someone who's interested in doing that, what's the process?
Well, on our website, cravenvote.com, you can go to precinct officials and download the application and fill it out and send it in to us. But if you want to be a chief judge, which is basically the manager of the precinct, and then we have to have two judges, one of each party, you go to the parties, the Democrats or the Republicans, and you give their applications to them. And there's certain rules and things that they have to do and applications and things that they have to do. And they are paid. We get a lot of people who say they want to volunteer, but we can't take volunteers. We have to pay you.
And on election day, mm-hmm. what is the hours of working on election day?
Election day, you go the Monday before and set up at your precinct, which takes about a couple hours or 3 to 4 hours, depending on which precinct it is. And then election day, you have to be there by 6 o'clock or earlier in the morning, and you stay until it's reconciled, which usually most people get to leave around 8:30 or 9. And it's an all day thing.
Melanie, in the 2020 election, I'm sure you're well aware, all of us are, that there was a lot of consternation about the observers, about how many observers there could be. And I'm talking across the country, not here in Craven County. And who they were and how much access they had to watch what people were doing and things like that. What's the policy about that in Craven County?
In North Carolina, it is you can have, they're called regular observers or at-large observers. A regular observer is to serve four-hour periods. Now, that doesn't mean someone has to sit for 4 hours. But if that observer leaves, no one can step in to finish their other couple hours or whatever. They're assigned in four-hour increments, and they are based on the party, but they have to be approved by our board. And then there are at-large, which can come and go at any precinct at any time for any length. But the regular observers are appointed at particular precincts to sit for four-hour periods.
And there's a limited number.
That's what I'm
there is. At one point in time, there can be no more than two of the same party at a time.
So. Okay.
Okay. We just talked about the board and makeup of the board. Now, how often do they meet?
We meet monthly. The first Wednesday of the month at 2 is our regularly scheduled board meeting. But during election periods, we have absentee meetings every week and election day meetings. But all of our board meetings are scheduled and are listed on our website, cravenvote.com.
All right. I see here the next meeting is Wednesday, January the 5th at 2 p.m.
It is. We just made that change. It was December 15th because that was the deadline for the new one-stop plan. But since we're not having the march, I just changed that today. Our next meeting, we decided to cancel it. So our next meeting will be January
5th. Okay. And this is important because you've got guests may join in person or live stream. So your meetings are open to the public.
Yes.
And you encourage people to come and participate in the process. Because I know a lot of people wonder, what are they doing down there? And why did they do this or why did they do that? Who's doing this? And folks, go down and see. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to join. You keep quiet. You can't be outspoken. You have to, you know, play by the rules. But you can go down and see for yourself. And if you don't want to do that, you can watch a live stream on, I believe it's on YouTube.
No, we use Microsoft Teams.
Okay.
And we do post the link on our webpage. And then we have a list, a notice list of the people that I send notices of all the meetings to with the links. That was, I guess, one good thing that came out of the COVID situation is our board decided to continue to live stream as well as offer in person.
Right. And I also see a note that says if you would like to be put on the agenda to speak, follow the public agenda policy. And requests have to be made 48 hours before the scheduled meeting. So you do allow people to...
We do. If they have an issue that they want put on the agenda, they have to give us that 48-hour notice. But again, we customarily in board meetings, our board chairman usually gives people an opportunity to ask questions. Not all the time does that happen, but at times, sometimes... our board chair will say, hey, does anyone have a comment or something to say? But if you have a particular interest of something you want us to discuss, you can either contact me and I can put it on the agenda beforehand, or if you don't think about it until 48 hours before then, and you want to speak on that, you do have to give us follow the public policy.
Okay.
As far as the redistricting goes, exactly what is being redistricted?
The your U.S. Congressional was redistricted, your North Carolina State House and North Carolina Senators, Senate was redistricted, which that's the ones that are up in the air on why we're having all this back and forth, back and forth. But our county commissioners redistrict, our school board redistrict, and City of New Bern redistrict. So those, you may or may not have a new ward or school board or commissioner district now.
Are all of those subject to court challenges? Is that what we're going through now?
I would assume that anything's up could be court challenged, but that's the most of the ones are the legislative and the U.S. Congressional and the North Carolina maps.
Now, when we're done with the redistricting, and as we know, at least as it stands right now, Keith Kidwell is moving back to Beaufort and then I think Pamlico. And so now we're going to share with Carteret as far as a second. Do the representative have to file in both counties, or do they just have to file with the state?
They file, your North Carolina House of Representatives has to file in the city or the town that they live in. Like, for instance, Steve Tyson filed the other day in North Carolina House 3. He filed in my county because that's where he lives. And there was an opponent who filed in Kinston in Lenoir because that's also District 3 in the newly drawn maps now. So you go where you live.
How far up did the Carteret counties extend into Craven now?
I do not know that. Sorry.
It looked like on a map it kind of took in most of Havelock, and that was about it. I mean,
that's the new District 13.
Yeah.
So, yes, we do have Havelock is now engrossed into 13. Most of Havelock is.
Well, while we're talking about maps, a lot of confusion's been generated for people that really don't stay on top of this stuff and don't even pay attention to it until it's election day almost. People that don't know how they were affected and exactly what district they lie in now, what's the easiest way for them to find out?
Actually, when you get your voter card in my county, it's going to tell you what they currently are now. also, GIS, Craven County GIS, has already updated their maps. Just today, they finished making maps. So my webpage is, we also have small little colored maps on it by precinct and by commissioner district and school board district. We're updating those as well. So that's, or you go to the North Carolina State Board website or cravenvote.com, look up your voter registration, and it will tell you your jurisdictions.
Okay. All you need to know is your name.
You have to enter your name and birth date exactly how it says, or it won't pop up. So yes,
that's interesting because I've had experience with voters that couldn't do that. So.
Now I know that there's also data that can be downloaded from the State Board of Elections on the voters, and by county you can download that, and that expresses who their representative is, state senator, the state representative, the U.S. rep, and all that stuff. Do you have to alter all of those numbers by hand wherever their districts has changed, or is that done?
Like the current North Carolina district or Senate district changed from, I think, what were you, 2, and now we're 3, I believe. That was just one-time click change. You changed the 2 to 3. But because we were 3 and 79, and now we're 3 and 13, and it kind of flip-flopped what 3 was is now...
kind of flip-flopped. Where the line was.
I had to go in on the rows that were affected in 13 and do them one by one, just like the commissioner district redistricting and the school board redistricting. It took me many, many hours. I did not reach my first goal, but that's all completed now, and that's why we're mailing cards. But
thank you for doing that.
It's manual.
That's detail work.
It's very detailed.
Melanie, if somebody wanted to, how do you think they could make our system more complicated?
I think it can be pretty complicated and confusing, but I always say voters should take responsibility to do research when they move into a different county or a state, and because the resources are there. Even on our cravenvote.com, like I said, we have maps. We also have a download. Around by the 15th of every month, I try to always put out a list of voters. It's in an Excel spreadsheet. You can sort it many, many, many ways, and you can get a lot of information that you call and ask us to do for you, which it's already there. We do try to get those out by December 15th. Matter of fact, we've got to get the new list out because we're getting a lot of interest in the school board districts and lists.
And give them that website address again.
It's cravenvote.com.
Very simple, folks. You go to
CravenVote. It does take you to the Craven County website,
right,
but it takes you directly to our page.
Right.
Now, I understand historically, and not so much in Craven, but people have griped because they're listed to vote in more than one location. Mm-hmm. And so as you come in here and you register to vote, how do you know who to tell to unregister?
If a voter does not fill out the section that I'm registered somewhere else, we will not know.
And if you do the quote motor voter registration, mm-hmm, you don't know either, right?
There's no way for us to know. The only way we will know is if you are registered in a North Carolina county.
Yeah.
We check that by the 15th of every month. We have list maintenance of lists that we check of duplicate registration. So we'll know in North Carolina, but we won't know in another state or county. But North Carolina does have a partnership now with several states, and it'll show up in those as well.
Well, that sounds like a good place to take a break, to hear from our sponsors. And folks, pay attention, go out and visit them. Tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Okay, Melanie, let's move on to another area of your responsibility. And tell us about precinct officials. Looking on the website here, it says the precinct official plays a critical role in a successfully run election. This individual is the face of the election to the voters and is the first to give the impression of what experience the voter will have voting. So tell us about precinct officials.
It's a good way to get involved and earn some mad money or rainy day money, but it is a good day to get involved. You do have to have training. It's a quick training, but with COVID, we did some online training, and we're going to continue to do that as well as offer some in-person. But it gives you a firsthand look on the other side of voting on what goes into an election. And I think most of the people who do it are surprised exactly how much is involved in it and what all they learn and to get ready and the machines and all of those type of things. And they earn a better respect sometimes for the process because they get involved and see actually what happens. Yeah. And it's a great, great opportunity to get involved. And you can get involved as early as being 17 years of age. And that's called student assistance. And we can have two per precinct, and we do have some student involvements with some of the school, I mean, all the way up to whatever age. And there's usually different types of jobs that you can do, because some are data entry, some are just greeting people and things like that. But it's a great, great opportunity to get involved in the democracy that is set for you.
And I encourage the 17-year-olds to take advantage of that. It's a great experience, as Melanie has just stated, to see the process firsthand and the ins and outs of what goes on at the polls on election day.
I will say presidential elections, we have a great amount of people wanting to work. It's in the other years we don't. And we have to run elections the same no matter what candidates and races are on the ballot. So we really need an average of 7 to 8 individuals at each of our 21 precincts. Unfortunately, in non-presidential years, we can only get 4 or 5. So.
All right, Hal.
Melanie, as you know, CCTA does not endorse candidates.
Right.
And don't have any party affiliation at all. But we as individuals, most of us that sit around this table at some point, sometime in the past, have tried to support candidates of our own choice. And this distance away that you can get from people who are approaching the building seems to get larger and larger all the time. It started out about, 35 feet, 25, 35, now it's up to 50 or something, isn't it? And then you can't get near the curbside voting and things like that.
Right, that's the newest one. All buffer zones in most North Carolina counties, they have to be between 25 and 50 feet.
Yes.
In the counties that I've been associated with, it's always been 50 feet. What you're talking about is the buffer zone we did have at the main office at our office was 37 feet from the back door where curbside was located. And then we had some problems in the 2018 election, and our board decided just to make it 50 feet curbside buffer, which is the car voting, and 50 feet from the entrances, consistent for all the precincts. So it is now 50 feet, and we can't have more than 50 feet. But the curbside is the one that makes it look like it's bigger and bigger, because we can fit so many curbside cars in that area. If we are serving a car, it's 50 feet from the car. And we try to keep it contained to those 6 or 7 parking spaces, so we have it set on the last two.
Well, let me make sure I understand that, because I get involved a lot. Mm-hmm. 50 feet from the car.
Yes.
Okay, that's different than I understood it to be.
So if you've got 8 cars and you're at the one at the front of the line, your mark's going to be...
It's way
no,
out
you're
here.
Too, you're way up. You got to go back to the last car and go 50 feet from that. But
no, the one that you're no. serving.
The one, it's the you're one serving. That you're serving.
Oh, the one that you're
yes,
serving.
Yes, we could actually draw 50-feet circles around every parking space that we use for curbside.
Yeah.
But the way our board did it was the 50 feet from the last and 50 feet from the front.
I sure appreciate you clarifying yes. that, because I was afraid we'd go all the way down to where that big building is.
But if candidates or people are interested in where our buffer zones are, our GIS has put pictorials. They may not be exactly accurate, but they're just guides for our precinct officials to use. But it gives you a guide for all of our precincts. And you also can find that when you do look up your polling place on the state board website, because it's one of the pictures of your polling places.
Some places are marked with white chalk.
They do. And we love the spray chalk, but some of the precincts won't let us use that. So we do have to have them marked.
It's interesting, and I know it's really early in the process right now. Would you please explain the valid use of curbside voting? The valid use.
Yes. The
legal.
The legal definition for curbside voting is primarily you are not able to walk into the voting enclosure. Not able to walk into the voting enclosure without assistance due to age or disability. That is the legal definition. But we cannot ask you if you have a disability or why are you voting curbside, but you do have to swear or affirm to an affidavit and sign that affidavit. And we read you that affidavit before you vote.
Now,
and if you sign it, we'll bring you your ballot out to you.
Now, you say you can't ask.
We cannot.
But if an observer sees a person that's voting curbside, mm-hmm. that they just observed them doing something else.
Riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
We actually can serve a person on a bicycle in curbside. A motorcycle, a car, a wheelchair, we can. Disability is where you get, there's no definition of disability in the act.
Okay, well, you just said it was if you couldn't walk into the...
It's supposed to be if you cannot walk into the voting enclosure without assistance.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
But there's really no
legal way to challenge a curbside vote.
I noticed that when it rains hard, the curbside voting really picks up.
Mm. Yes.
Well, you know, arthritis gets really bad.
We all have cases. I mean, even at one of our precincts, it was 7:29, and a carload of teenagers all drove in and jumped in one car and came through the curbside.
Oh.
But we cannot refuse to serve a voter. Can't do it.
Okay. All you folks thinking about abusing curbside voting, disregard that last statement and do what is morally right. Okay?
Yeah, amen. I say that.
It is a legal binding affidavit, but there's really no legal way for us to challenge it.
Okay. Well, let's move on to another highly contested and important item that came up with a lot of attention after the 2020 election. Let's talk about voting equipment.
Ooh.
Tell us what type of equipment that's being used in Craven County, kind of how it functions, let's dispel some of the misbeliefs that people might have about at the polls the equipment is connected to the internet and things like that.
Well, in North Carolina, all North Carolina 100 counties were to go paper ballots by December 2020. So in Craven County, you went all paper in 2014. When I came from Cleveland County in 2013, you had the iVotronic, which was the computer push the button. I have never dealt with an iVotronic, so my first thing was to get rid of them because I didn't want to learn how to do them. So we knew that we were going to have to go all paper by 2020, so here was an opportunity for us to go to paper ballots all the way. So at that time, we used something called the M100, but now we are upgraded to the DS200. It is a scanner. When you color in your ovals, it scans your choices. Do we test this machine? Yes, we do. We have a mock election, which we call logic and accuracy testing, before every election. We have sample ballots we put through, and we have the results, and we compare everything to make sure it comes out to the results. We also have, after the election, called a hand-eye recount, where the state board randomly picks two precincts and a race, and we sit down with a bipartisan member of four, two Dems and two Republicans, and physically call out, and every fifth vote they together tally. We're hand-eye checking the tapes. And we accurately check those machines. And it is a glorified scanner machine that reads your results. It is not hooked to the internet. It is only plugged up into the wall for power.
Okay, so now after you complete that process, that's got to get to Raleigh somehow.
Yes. The way it gets to Raleigh is during the night when the results are on a flash drive, a little flash drive stick.
Yep.
After the polls close, a runner, which we call a runner, a precinct official, brings us that in a sealed bag with the results tape, a copy of the results tape. I take that flash drive and enter it into a standalone computer that is not hooked to the internet in any way possible. Enter that flash drive. It reads it. And I get to wait till about four or five or six precincts come in. And then download on a brand new flash drive the results. And then I take that flash drive and put it into my normal computer, which has internet connection, and it goes, you know, internet over the iCloud, which the state board is now with, and download into the state board website. Each time I go from that computer to my standalone, I have to get a new flash drive. Like the one I just now downloaded into the main computer for the state board, I cannot take it now back to the other computer. That's some of our security now. So we go through about six or seven flash drives in a night.
Right after you complete that process, let's go a week or two down the road. Okay. Do you ever sit down and verify what you sent to Raleigh and what Raleigh is reporting?
Oh, I am a numbers person. Those that know me, and they say I kind of get obsessed about that. Even while we are reading those results, I have a board member in the room with me, and usually it's the board chair. When I put a flash drive in, we make sure the numbers match the tape. Yes. And then that many, many times we verify that. Even before we do canvassing, which is where we certify the election, I'm constantly checking what's on the report to what is showing in history. We have to balance history to ballots cast and make sure the numbers match for every precinct.
Now, is that the history on the state's
Yes,
computers?
It's also the history on the state computers. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to was the state results match up and verify with the alert. Okay.
I was going to ask, and you mentioned that the ballots, the paper ballots, are scanned.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have heard, such as Georgia order, where the adjudication process where it doesn't scan properly. Do we have any process like that where, let's say, people didn't color in a block hard enough or deep enough and it's got to be adjudicated by some member of the board?
The only ones that we really, really probably look at more closely than anything else are the absentee by mail ballot, because we have to unfold and do those. And sometimes if a voter's not there at the time to correct their ballot, if it bounces back because they circled in more circles than was allowed, so our board makes that decision as they go. But the hand-eye recount, if it's not accurate, we have to figure out why it's not accurate. But I'm the same way with history to ballots cast. If it's not accurate, I want to know why it's not accurate. And I can tell you, as long as I've been in Craven County, there's only of one election where we just couldn't come up with why the numbers were off, and it was by two. And we do believe in curbside, the voter drove off with the ballot. So that's the only explanation we could think of, because there was a problem with the voter. But I'm that number. It bothers me if I'm one off.
So again, as you said, anytime the ballots are in a moving process, more than one person is observing it.
You're absolutely correct. And we do get a lot of people wanting a receipt for their ballot, but it is a secret ballot that I have no idea which ballot was yours. It doesn't know your name. There's no way for me to go back and say, okay, here's your ballot, this is what tally. There's no way for me to do that. The only way I can assure a voter is that we have checks and balances, that the same number of ballots went into that machine versus the same number of authorization to vote documents went in, and the history. Yes.
Because when you walk over and slide that, and the person's standing right there, and you slide it into the machine, it's being counted right there, correct?
Right there. That's your
in-person voter.
It is. And the DS-200 does take pictures of the ballots for write-in situations and things like that. That's how we count our write-ins. Mm-hmm. And versus the manual way of sorting them all out now. Now we have pictures of them. I stand by North Carolina elections because of our checks and balances, and it is a scanner. And because we have that mock election before and check results out, and then we have the hand eye before. I'm not saying that there may be a discrepancy, but usually it is not discrepancies big enough to make an effect in an election.
I'd like to point out that there is a legitimate reason for using that machine, so where you can just touch the screen sometimes. I've got a lot of arthritis in my right hand, and apparently I didn't keep it in the circle quite, the oval quite enough. The judge or whomever it is that I turned my ballot into looked at it and said, I'm afraid that this one might get rejected. You might want to use the machine instead. And I did.
Yes, you're talking about the Automarks that we used to have, which is what we call the glorified printer. It would color your ovals for you. We have now changed to something new.
Oh.
The voters will have an experience with something called the Express Vote. There has been some controversy about the Express Vote, but we're only using it for ADA purposes. It's just like the old Automark.
ADA.
America's Disabilities Act.
Okay.
We have to have a machine that's disabilities can use, and that's what the Automark was for. But the Express Vote is smaller than what the large Automark was, mm-hmm. and it's a different size ballot. It's a more of a slimmer ballot, but it's the same thing. You'll still hit the thing, and it'll color in your oval for you. So that's going to be new that voters will use. But anyone can use it, not just people with disabilities. But it does enhance hearing. It does have a capability for blind and disabled, people who can't see very well. And then, like I said, in hearing and other disabilities.
Great to me, huh?
You can microphone, yeah. And it'll read the ballot to you and those type of things. So that is going to be new.
All right,
new model.
We once again need to take a break to hear from our sponsor. So hold your thoughts, and we'll be right back. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
How would you like to buy a present, be inspired, and have your spirits lifted? It's easy. Just visit Carolina Creations at 317 Pollock Street in downtown New Bern. You'll find an amazing array of gallery-worthy paintings, one-of-a-kind jewelry, pottery, glassware, greeting cards, personal adornments, and all sorts of temptations. Everything is displayed to please the eye. Prices run the gamut from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. Many items are by local artists and artisans. Carolina Creations has been voted Best Gallery, Best Gift Shop, and Best Jewelry Store by the Sun Journal's readers. Stop in and see why. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will let you browse to your heart's content or swing into helpful mode if that's needed. You'll enjoy a visit to Carolina Creations. That's a promise.
To CCTA wake-up call. Again, we have Director of Elections here in Craven County, Ms. Melanie Ray, with us. Melanie, thank you so much for the time you gave up to come in and sit down and talk with us this evening. We've only got a few minutes left, so I'm going to give you a couple to tell us anything you've left out or we didn't ask you about that you think's important.
Elections are always evolving. We know that. But the only way to make change is for you to educate yourselves and vote for the people that you want elected. I do feel that everyone is represented, regardless of where lines are, but lines have to be somewhere. Precinct lines, jurisdiction lines, they have to be somewhere. And if you are not happy with who is elected in your jurisdictions, then get a candidate that can be elected and or you yourself run for office. This is America. You do have the right to vote, but it also comes with responsibilities. And you need to research, and you need to be educated, and know what those responsibilities are. And you can do it by casting your votes. And just keep going. Every election is important, not just presidential. Go to your local elections, your municipality elections. Every election has some effect on how you daily live and what goes on in your where you live. So take responsibility.
Those are very good points. And to illustrate that further, I ran for school board a couple of times, and in the campaign process, talking to people, a lot of people would say, well, I don't have kids in school, so, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Wrong answer.
Wrong answer, absolutely, because even though you don't have kids in school, the kids that are being educated, or in the way I view it, indoctrinated in the school system now, are the ones that are going to be your future leaders, your mayors, your governors, your aldermen, commissioners. They're the ones that's going to control what happens in your city, in your state, in your town. You know, even though you don't have people there, you need to still get involved in the process. Same thing with talking about the judges. Well, maybe you're a totally law-abiding person and you don't end up in the court system and you really don't care who the judge is on the bench. Wrong answer again. Mm-hmm. Because the judges on the bench, as we've illustrated earlier today, can override the will of the people. We've had the marriage amendment was overwhelmingly passed by the population in the state of North Carolina, and the voter ID bill, again, the people overwhelmingly voted for that. And both of those were overridden by in some instances, unelected judges. They were appointed. So that's why it's important for you to participate in every election and every office that's on that ballot. need to pay attention to. And as Melanie just told you, you need to start doing your research and your homework now. Don't wait till election day and walk in there and look at the ballot and say, well, who is, I don't know who they are. I'll just skip over that. Well, he's got an R. I'll check that. And he's got a D. I don't want to talk. You know, that's not the way to do it, folks. You need to know who you're voting for. The incumbents have a record, and that record's out there. You can find it. So good points you brought up, Melanie. We appreciate it.
You know, Rick, also along with that, there's a lot of public meetings around the area. It doesn't count only on election day. There's a lot of public meetings where you are allowed to input and give your opinion or
school board meeting, alderman meeting, commissioners meeting.
Yeah, participate.
Board of election meetings.
You don't have to do everything, but do something.
Right. Once again, Melanie, thank you very much for being with us. We're glad to have you. Every time you come, you're so informative. You're very knowledgeable of your job, and we appreciate the job that you do.
Thank you very much.
And kudos to your staff. Pass that on to them. All right. Well, we need to talk to you a little bit about our next public meeting, which is on the
21st.
Okay, Melissa, tell us what's happening at this meeting.
We are having our CCTA Christmas party. Everyone is invited. It is 7 to 9 at the Stanley Hall Ballroom, same place we always have our meetings. I want you guys to get creative. There are prizes for your ugliest Christmas sweater. So it can be a dress, a sweater, a vest, a t-shirt. Just make it ugly. We're also going to have a great holiday supper. All of our members are bringing potluck, and we will have all the turkey, the ham, and all the trimmings to go with it.
Rick's going to cook the turkey, isn't he?
Rick is going to cook the turkey. We're also having our second annual bake-off, so bring your prize-winning dessert. There will be door prizes for the top three winners. And our white elephant gift exchange, always a big hit, bring you a $10 or less wrapped gift. And it can be a useful gift, a gag gift, whatever kind of gift. Anything makes it fun. We're also collecting toiletries and small gifts for the local nursing home. So just bring an unwrapped toiletry for us to hand out to our local nursing home. And I hope to see you all there.
Okay, folks, that's Tuesday, the 21st of December, naturally. It's free, open to the public. You're all invited. Please come and join us. We're also having a gun raffle, and tickets will be available there. It's a 9mm carbine. So we'll see you there.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.